Chapter 8. Hello, Texas. Love has a way of enhancing the world.
Victoria had never seen the sky so blue or the trees and land so green. The air was warm, and as the train headed southwest, Victoria felt like the colorful wildflowers swaying in a soft breeze in the fields were performing a dance exclusively for her. It was the 16th of June when Victoria finally arrived at the Santa Fe train depot in San Angelo, Texas. Robert was waiting for her with flowers and a big smile on his face. Victoria looked especially elegant in her mauve traveling suit and brand new hat. Her face was radiant, and anyone at the station could see Robert and Victoria were in love. A carriage took them to the elegant St. Angeles Hotel, where Robert had a room reserved. The hotel had just been rebuilt after being destroyed by fire 2 years before, and was the premier place in town for elegant dining and overnight comfort. That evening, Robert presented Victoria with a lovely golden ring.
I thought we could go to the Justice of the Peace tomorrow and get married. That is, if you'll still have me. I know I might be rushing things, but I...
Of course, Robert. Yes, we will marry tomorrow. This means I will be a June bride. Tomorrow is perfect. The next day, Robert married Victoria in a simple, quiet ceremony, witnessed by a man and woman they had never met. It all seemed so surreal. Victoria felt like a butterfly, free from her cocoon. Texas was her home now, and everything in her life was new. That is, with the exception of the love she had for Sir Robert, her knight in shining armor. Perhaps Mosella was right. Perhaps they had been lovers in previous lifetimes. Whether or not that was true, it was a nice thought. All she knew for sure was for the first time since her father and mother had passed away, Victoria felt loved and safe. Her dreams had come true, and she was determined to make Robert a happy man. Victoria was now Victoria Pearl McKnight, the happiest woman in the world. After the ceremony, Robert and Victoria walked outside as man and wife. Victoria looked around her and took a closer look at San Angelo. It was so different from Chicago. Simple and uncomplicated. She loved that. To her, it was paradise. As far as she was concerned, any place was paradise as long as she was with Robert.
Now for your wedding present. We are going to the Concho River.
They climbed onto the padded seats of the carriage. Victoria sat beside her new husband with her arms snugly hooked into his. With Robert, Victoria felt complete. She was amazed how they always fit together so well.
The Concho River looked peaceful and serene. Victoria could feel the warm, dry West Texas wind blow gently on her face.
Here it is.
All Victoria could see was the river and the land around it. Here is what? Robert's arms were stretched wide.
It's your wedding gift, Victoria. This is where I'm going to build you a house. Here.
Oh, Robert, it is quite lovely. Peaceful, wonderful, and lovely.
I realize you're a city girl, Victoria, and for a long time you've lived in a pretty fancy place. I want to build a house for us in San Angelo, right here on the Concho River. The ranch is 50 miles southeast from here, way away from the life in the city like what you're used to. I have good health, and I don't have to be at the ranch all the time.
Suddenly, Robert became very serious.
Victoria, there is something I have not told you. I was married once many years ago, but my wife died giving birth to our first child. It was a boy, and the poor little guy never even took his first breath. Since then, all I've been doing is working hard, and then I met you. Hell, I didn't even want to go with those guys that night in Chicago. We'd come up to do some cattle business, and one of the men heard about y'all. I think he said he heard about the new club opening from a lady friend he knew in the business. They had to talk me into coming. When I saw you in that pretty dress sitting by the piano, I was mighty glad I'd gone with them. I felt like I already knew you, like you had something that belonged to me. There hasn't been one day since that first night I haven't thought about you. I love you so much, Victoria Pearl. You are my heart.
Robert was so sincere. He had never talked to her that way before.
I love you, Victoria, but Grandmother wouldn't have been nice to you at all. She didn't like Yankees or Catholics, and God knows what would have happened if she had ever found out about the Everlight Club. She died last February. I've been getting things in order to bring you to Texas, hoping, of course, that you might agree to come.
Victoria suddenly realized she had not known about Robert's grandmother, or even that he had lost his wife and a baby. All this time, he had been thinking of her the way she had been thinking about him. None of it mattered now. She was with her Robert McKnight, and she loved her new life. That evening, Robert and Victoria ate a lovely dinner and celebrated their marriage alone with a bottle of champagne. They made love as man and wife all night long. It felt different knowing he didn't have to leave. Now they were married. Their union was sacred and magical. Her name was now Victoria Pearl McKnight. And somehow it seemed as if all time before this moment had been erased. June 17, 1904 was their bright new beginning, and they were full of joy and love for each other. Victoria gasped as the buggy pulled into the five-star ranch. She had never seen anything so lovely in her life. A cascade of fresh spring water fell onto a brimming 3-acre pond full of colorful lily pads. As she listened to the sound of the falls flowing so peacefully, Victoria knew she was hearing a new kind of music. There were oak trees and vast grasslands where cattle were grazing peacefully. "I love Texas, Robert. I just love Texas, and I love you." As they neared the house, two friendly brown and white Brittany Spaniels greeted them with wagging tails and happy barks.
"Meet Polly and Barkley."
Victoria's new home was a two-story farmhouse with a porch that wrapped around it. Robert helped her from the carriage, and then, to Victoria's surprise, he swept her up and carried her over the threshold. A woman, perhaps in her mid-30s, was standing to the side of the great room, smiling at their happiness.
"Buenos dias, Señor Robert. Bienvenido a casa."
"This is Angela. Her family has been with our family for over 60 years. Wait until you taste her tortillas. You are going to love Angela's tortillas."
That evening, Victoria presented herself to her new husband, wearing a lovely strand of pearls Robert had given her on one of his trips to Chicago. It was all she was wearing.
"Some women do look good in pearls."
Robert repeated his compliment several times that evening, every time they made love. Throughout their marriage, walking into a room wearing only her favorite pearls would become a tradition on special occasions, or sometimes just to set an amorous mood. The next week, Robert took Victoria to Menardville, a small town on the San Saba River, 15 miles from the ranch. At one time, it had served as an overnight stop and trading post on North and West cattle trails.
"There has been a lot of bloodshed in the state of Texas. one of the saddest stories happened right here on this river. Back in the 1700s, the Spanish saw this as an ideal place to build a mission and fort because it was on the route from San Antonio to El Paso. Unfortunately, the fort and the mission were a couple of miles apart. The Comanche saw the settlers as intruders. One day, 2,000 Comanche Indians and their allies attacked the mission and tortured and killed two of the padres who were here. A third padre managed to live and tell the story of what happened. The details are too awful to tell you, Victoria. It was the start of the war in this land between the settlers and the Comanche Indians.
The next few weeks, Robert and Victoria were inseparable. She even liked to watch him work. Most days were spent riding horses around the ranch, and their evenings making love. To Robert's delight, Victoria didn't miss anything about Chicago. The country air was fresh, and there was something about Texans that was refreshingly honest. "I know it might sound strange, but somehow it feels as if Texas has wrapped her arms around me and welcomed me home, Robert."
"Like any good mother, Texas will rock you like a baby, close to her heart."
Victoria wore simple dresses now, and for the most part she wore her hair down or in a long braid when the days were hot. Robert loved just looking at Victoria, the way she moved, the way she played with Polly and Barclay, and especially her sly, seductive looks that said, "I want you now." They laughed often and made love every day, twice on Sundays. Robert was Victoria's happiness, and she was completely content being his wife. Victoria had always wanted to go to her mother's village in Ireland. Robert's family was from Scotland. Connecting with the land of their ancestors was soulfully emotional for both of them, and their feelings ran deep. That fall, Robert took his bride to the Misty Isles. Every evening they found a pub where Victoria recognized some of the limericks and songs her parents had sung. The Irish brogue especially warmed Victoria's heart. It was as if a part of her mother and father was still alive. They visited small churches and took long rides throughout the vast green countryside. As she visited places her mother told her about and ate the same cooking her mother used to prepare, Victoria felt reconnected to both her parents. She remembered those Sunday afternoons her mother would smile and say,
"Your father and I are going to go to rest for a while, Victoria."
Now she fully understood exactly what that smile meant. It was the look of a woman in love. The voyage on the ship coming home to America was rough for Victoria. Not once did she get seasick on the trip over. Now she was sick at her stomach every day. Robert was patient, and Victoria kept apologizing. "I don't understand. I was fine crossing the ocean." When they finally reached America, Victoria continued to be ill on the train ride home to Texas. By the time they returned, it was quite evident that Victoria was pregnant. Robert was gravely concerned. It was painful enough when he lost his first wife and baby in childbirth. He would be devastated if he ever lost Victoria.
"Do not worry me, love. I come from a line of strong Irish women, and in a few short months I will present you with a strong young laddie to work the ranch and bring the cows home."
Every day she was pregnant, Robert continued to tell Victoria how beautiful she was. One day, as she was reading on the front porch, he marveled at the sunlight glistening in her long flowing hair.
"You are the most gorgeous creature I have ever seen."
Oh, Robert, me love, I believe you need glasses. Look at me. I am swollen up like a hot air balloon, and my breasts are as big as cow's tits. Moo.
"To me, you are the most desirable woman on earth. Besides, you only have two tits.
Ooh.
Ooh, my sweet, sexy lassie. Look what you're doing to me.
Well, I say, Mr. McKnight, I do believe you are in the want of a woman. Robert reached for Victoria's hand and took her inside. He slowly undressed his bride and laid with her on the bed. After they made love, he kissed the roundness of her belly. Suddenly, he felt a slight thump against his cheek. Just saying hello to his daddy.
You are absolutely glowing with beauty.
Victoria tenderly took his hand and laid it on her stomach under hers. Feel your son moving around. There. I think he wants to play.
That is amazing. Oh, Victoria, I love you so much. So very, very much.
As it turned out, Victoria was wrong about having a son. On June 25th, 1 year and 8 days after they had been married, Victoria gave birth to twin boys, Michael and David McKnight. Plans for the house being built in San Angelo had been postponed. Victoria was happy and content living on the ranch with her family. She loved watching Robert play with his two young sons, and for the first time in her life, she felt like a complete woman. Now she was a lover, a lady, a mother, and a wife. Victoria enjoyed her life in Texas with all of her men. I am quite content with my family here on the ranch. I am not so sure we need to build a house in San Angelo. Robert sold the land on the river, and the McKnight family continued living happily on the 5-star ranch in Menard County. America was growing by the thousands. The automobile was revolutionizing the country. By the time the twins were 10 years old, they knew how to handle a horse and drive a truck. When the train station was built in Menardville in 1911, the railroad said the name was too long to fit onto the sign. Because of this, the town was renamed Menard. The new train station was fewer than 15 miles from the ranch, which made it easier for the McKnight family to travel. Victoria was in love with Texas and set out to visit all of the places she had read about. I want the boys to know music and theater and to be exposed to the outside world, Robert. There is so much for them to see and learn, and I want them to be educated. It is important. Robert and Victoria took David and Michael on trips to Austin. They visited the missions and the Alamo in San Antonio, played on the white beaches in the Gulf of Mexico, and explored the exciting Galveston shipping port. The family always traveled together when Robert went to San Angelo on business trips. Victoria wanted her sons to be exposed to as much as possible. She often told them, "Knowledge is power." From that first day, when Victoria arrived at the Santa Fe Depot on North Chaburn, the town had dramatically grown. To her, she found San Angelo to be a fascinating place. At one time, the town was originally known as the place across the river, with brothels and saloons servicing cattle drive teams and soldiers stationed in Fort Concho. By the early 1900s, the town had become the largest trading city in West Texas. What once was a small town was now a growing city full of big, sophisticated buildings made of brick and stone. Whenever the McKnight family was in town, Robert managed to buy Victoria a gift from Holland's Jewelers. Although San Angelo was nothing like Chicago, the town had everything Victoria could ever need or want, and more. Most of all, Victoria liked the fact that the people were so friendly. A stately 3-story mansion had been built on the land Robert had built Victoria for their wedding day. Sometimes she went by to look at it with a little regret in her heart, remembering how excited he was presenting it to her as the place he wanted to build her a home. It was a lovely mansion with several porches and balconies, all with a lovely view of the Concho River. By 1913, San Angelo was dramatically different from that first day Victoria and Robert spent those enchanting nights at the St. Angeles Hotel. For her, it would always be the magical place where she married the love of her life, and for this, San Angelo would always hold a special place deep within her heart. As far as Victoria was concerned, the Concho River would always sing their eternal love song. As the war in Europe progressed, a grim cloud of depression settled over the nation. Victoria and Robert were grateful that their sons were too young to go. World War I ravaged the nation, and the boys who returned found it difficult to resume a normal existence. It would be the first time in America's history that the term shell-shocked was used to describe the condition. The entire country was forced to heal from its wounds after losing so many American lives. Many of the soldiers had died because of illness, and in 1918, a worldwide epidemic of the flu claimed the lives of millions. In 1919, the Spanish flu claimed the life of Victoria's beloved Robert.